All right, you have your Bibles with you. I want you to open them to the 11th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. I'm going to read several portions of Scripture, so you just be in a hurry and follow me. I'll not give you all the reference right now, and if you don't have time to follow me, I wish you'd write the verses down, look them up later, because I think they will bless you. I know they will. We'll look first to the 11th chapter of Acts. The 14th verse, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Then turn back to the 5th chapter of the Acts. 5th chapter of the Acts. And I'm going to read the 20th verse. Acts chapter 5, verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now I want to read several other verses of Scripture, and you'll not have to turn and read. I don't think you can turn that fast. Write them down, though, and look them up later, if you will. Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 37th verse. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, the 21st verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. But the tongue of the wise is health. In these services, we have sometimes, because it is Healing School, a series of lessons, and we speak along certain lines and stay right close sometimes with certain formats. But then occasionally, as the Lord would lead us, we just, I don't know, preach as well as teach. And sometimes all I get is just the little thought inside me, or a part of a scripture or something, and then let the Lord build on that. And sometimes when I speak like that, I really don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. But this afternoon, most of the day, I guess particularly, on the inside of me, something's been going over and over, and I looked up these few scriptures that sort of go along with it, and we'll sort of try to put it together as best we can and just see how it comes out. And that is healing in relation to words. Healing in relation to words. Somewhere or another, that's been going over and over on the inside of me all this day. Healing in relation to words. Now the text said here in Acts 11:14, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Men are saved by hearing words, and men are healed by hearing words. You know, of course, that this text refers to Peter and Cornelius and his household. And you know that Peter, in this 11th chapter of Acts, is rehearsing before the brethren up in Jerusalem, for he got called on the carpet for preaching to the Gentiles. And so he's rehearsing how that he had a vision there in Joppa, and how that Cornelius, as he went down to Cornelius' house, that this man told them how that he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, send men to Joppa and inquire in the house of Simon the Tanner for one Simon Peter, who, when he is come, will tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Now men are saved by hearing and speaking words. You see, the reason that men are saved by hearing words is because the Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if God demands faith, which of course he does, when it's impossible for us to have faith, then we'd have a right to challenge his justice, and he would be unjust. But you see, God's provided means whereby faith can be produced. Romans 10:17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn there to the 10th chapter of the Romans, and you'll see right readily what I'm saying, that men are saved by hearing and speaking words. Notice here in Romans, the 10th chapter, and let's start in with the 8th verse and then just read on down through the 17th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now notice that 8th verse, just what I said, and I really didn't realize till I read the verse. But I said men are saved by hearing and speaking words. Here he talks about the word of faith which we preach. And then he talks about that word which we preach, you speaking it, being in your heart and in your mouth. For he went on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's speaking words, isn't it? And believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible said, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. But how does that faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God. But I said men are not only saved just by hearing the word of God, but by speaking the word of God. Men are saved by hearing and speaking words. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved? Men are saved by hearing and speaking words. We can see that from Romans. Now, by the same token, men are healed by hearing and speaking words. Men are healed by hearing and speaking words. You see, faith for healing comes the same way that faith for the new birth comes. That's by hearing the word of God. And then it is always with the heart that man believeth and with the mouth that confession is made unto. You see, you can have faith in something, in Jesus, both as Lord and Savior, but if you don't confess it, it won't save you. It won't come to fruition. There's no such thing as a secret believer. Are you listening to me? For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoso will confess me before men, I'll confess him before my Father which is in heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, we know that when it comes to what we call salvation, the new birth. But you see, it's also true with whatever you receive from God, and healing's in the same plan of redemption as the new birth is. Men are healed by hearing and speaking words. I want to get that over to you. That's the way you get healed, is by hearing and speaking words. Now many wait for the intervention of divine sovereignty or for God to initiate something on his own, which of course he does occasionally. But that's not God's ordinary way of doing things. Now for instance, I'll show you what I mean when I say the intervention of divine sovereignty or God just doing something on his own. Turn back over to John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, for just a moment. John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. We'll start with the very first verse. John's Gospel, the 5th chapter. The very first verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now you see, God just did that on his own. If he wanted to, he could. He didn't have to ask me whether he could or not. And he didn't have to ask you. That's what we mean by the intervention of divine sovereignty, or God initiates something on his own. The first person that stepped into that pool after the angel troubled the water was healed, or whatever it is. It didn't make any difference what he had. Make any difference who it was, if it was a grown person or a child. Make any difference whether it's a man or a woman. It didn't make any difference, as we would say, whether they were saved or unsaved. Doesn't make any difference whether it's pretty or ugly. Didn't make any difference what color the skin were. Didn't make any difference whether it's rich or poor. Just the first one in got healed. And that's the only one. That's the only one. And you'll find out when God initiates things on his own, and there is an intervention of divine sovereignty, very often that's the way it is. Well, you say, why? I don't know. If I was doing it, I could tell you why, but I'm not the one that's doing it. Are you listening to me? He is. Then we'll get another picture of what I'm talking about if you'll just turn back to the 4th chapter of Mark's Gospel. The 4th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And we'll start reading with the 36th verse. The 4th chapter of Mark's Gospel. We'll start reading with the 36th verse. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now notice, and he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Now he's questioning the fact why they didn't have faith, because he had said, Let us pass over to the other side. He didn't say, Let's go halfway and sink. No, this miracle didn't happen because they had faith, because he said, Why is it you have no faith? It wasn't the disciples' faith. The Lord just did it on his own. I said, he just did it on his own. Well, God does that sometimes. And you don't wonder why almost sometimes. Many people wait for something like that. That might happen or it may not happen. I don't know, and nobody else knows. But one thing I'm sure of, blessed be God. God's best and God's greatest, and everything God has is at our disposal by the claim of faith. We don't have to wait for a divine intervention, which may happen or may not happen. We don't have to wait for God to initiate something. Thank God he's already initiated something, really, but I mean initiate something in a special way. Now turn back and we'll get another illustration of what I'm talking about. I think you'll see clearly. Turn back to the 14th chapter of Matthew, and we'll start reading with the 25th verse. Matthew chapter 14, start reading with the 25th verse. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" It wasn't Peter's faith that saved him. He had a little faith, enough to go for a while. But then he started sinking. It's just the Lord, through his own kindness and goodness, divine sovereignty, did something. Amen. Right on the other hand, there's been a lot of people that's drowned and that said, "Oh Lord, save me," and went ahead and drowned. Amen. That's the truth. You see, there's something about God initiating something on his own that none of us understand. There's a mystery about it. If you could understand all about God, you'd cease to be God. You don't even understand all about humans, much less God. Why try to figure him out? Amen. Isn't that right? Just accept him, praise God, as God. Let him tend to his business and you tend to yours. Can you say amen?
Amen.
What I'm saying to you is that we all know, like in the case there of the angel troubling the water, of one got healed, just one, the first one in. God initiates some things on his own sometimes in the areas of healing. In the case of him stilling the water, and the storm ceased. In the case of saving people and miracles, God initiates some things on his own sometime. In the case of saving Peter here. But that's not God's ordinary way of doing things. His ordinary way of doing things is us believing him, taking him at his word. That's the reason he gives us his word, so we can have faith. For faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God will produce faith. And so many are waiting. Waiting for the intervention of God. The intervention of divine sovereignty. For God to initiate something. Which he may or he may not. But I'll tell you one thing about it. God's best. And everything that God has for us is at our disposal by the claim of faith. I remember down in Texas a number of years ago, down in East Texas, there's a dear lady on the bed of sickness. Cancer, terminal cancer, bedfast, terminal cancer. Medical science have done all they could do. She has to die. I was holding a meeting in the vicinity. This lady was not a member of the church where I was preaching, but that pastor had visited her, and she wanted me to come to pray for her. I went with the pastor one day. Well, I always looked to the Lord to see if he would initiate anything, if he would say something. Never said anything. I never had any kind of manifestation. Well, what can you do if the Lord doesn't initiate something? Well, you can give people the word. You can put the word into them, get them to believe God, and if you get them to believe God, then you can agree with them, praise God, and that's what I began to do. Well, no, she wasn't interested in trying to believe anything. There's just somebody somewhere that's going to heal her, some man. I said, well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, sister, but Rita, there's no man anywhere that could heal you or anybody else. No man that could do it. Well, I'll just lie here and hope that they will. I said, well, you'll die in hope then, because she did. Now, I went further west in Texas just a little while after then. And here was another woman that was bedfast with terminal cancer. Bedfast, dying. She can't feed herself. She can't get up. She's tied to that bed. And as we prayed, there was a manifestation of the Spirit. The Lord didn't initiate something. Now, I can't initiate it. I'm not God. But I heard the Lord speak to me and told me to do something. He said, just go stand at the head of the bed and say, come out, you spirit of doubt and fear. I went to the head of the bed and said, come out, you spirit of doubt and fear, in the name of Jesus. And the woman rose up shouting and jumped out of bed. She couldn't get out of bed. And was healed and went out in the backyard and sat down and had watermelon with us in the afternoon. Glory to God. But the Lord initiated something on His own. Now I'd be a fool to everybody that's got cancer say, well, that's the way to do it. I found out how to do it. Just cast the spirit of fear and doubt every one of them. No. That may not be the problem with the others. If the Lord don't tell you, well, what are you going to do? Put the word into them. There's a connection between the word. Men are healed. People are healed by hearing and saying words. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Well, then we moved on from West Texas up into Colorado just a little while later. And here's another woman that's got terminal cancer. Terminal cancer. Has to die, the doctor said. Medical science done what they could do. She was healed by hearing and speaking words. I never had any manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God never said anything to me. What can you do? Same thing I tried to do with the other woman. Gave her the word. What did she do? She picked that word up and began to speak it. I'll just put that into practice for myself. I'll just put that into practice for myself. She began to speak the word of God. You say, what happened? Same doctors couldn't find it. It disappeared. I went back some years later and preached in her home church. The doctors then, after those years, still couldn't find it. It disappeared. They'd said to her, if it didn't recur after so many years, well, she's home free. And they'd said to her, about the time I come, well, you're home free. It won't ever occur anymore. I mean, no sign of it. It's gone. It's gone. Well, I didn't pray. Didn't lay hands on the woman. What happened? It was her faith. God's best. God's provision is ours by the claim of faith. But you see, faith must be released through words, or in words, through your mouth. That reminds you of what Jesus said, doesn't it? Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. You see, doubt can cause you to receive something less than God's best. But blessed be God. Faith will cause you to receive God's best. But faith must be released in words through your mouth. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We read, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now think about that. Whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. In other words, he created his own troubles with his mouth and his tongue. See, a lot of people thought somebody else did it. They're always complaining, blaming somebody else. They've created their own troubles. Whoso keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And then we read further here. See, mouth, tongue, words. Mouth, tongue, words. There is that speaketh like the piercing of the sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Here he talks about your tongue being health. Amen. See, with your tongue, you're going to produce either health or sickness. With your tongue, with your mouth, with your words. Tongue, mouth, words. They all go together. You understand that? And so we need to understand this. That faith will cause the power of God to move in our behalf. And will cause us to receive the miraculous into our lives. But that faith has to be released in words through our mouth. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Faith is released by words. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's so with salvation. That's so with healing. Faith for salvation is released in words by your mouth. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raising from the dead. You see, because you believe God has raised him from the dead, you know that he is Lord of all. And you confess him as your Lord. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That is, he believes he's right with God because Jesus made him right. Jesus paid the price. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. It's with his mouth that he confesses that he's saved. It's with the heart that man believes unto healing. It's with his mouth that he confesses that he's healed. Are you listening to me? And even, I'll tell you this right now, even though you get healed by God initiating something on his own, by manifestations of gifts and so on and so forth, you'll not maintain that healing without maintaining a positive faith confession. Because the devil will camouflage the thing and take it away from him. I've seen it happen again and again. Faith is released by words. Learn to use words so they'll work for you. Praise God. Words. Somebody said, make you a millionaire or a pauper. Now just decide which one you want to be. Keep on talking poverty and keep on poor mouthing it and you'll stay poor. Words will make you a millionaire or a pauper. Words will make you wanted or desired or despised. Now if you want to be despised, just keep on speaking hateful words. And unlovely words and mean words. But if you want to be loved and desired, then speak lovely words. Hallelujah. Words will make you a victor or keep you a captive. If you want to be victorious, then start speaking victory words. Words like this, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Words like this, this is the victory. This is the victory, the Bible said. That overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Words like this, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Words like this, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Words like this, if God be for us, who can be against us? Words like this, my Father is greater than all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Words like this, the name of Jesus has authority and power on earth, in heaven, and under the earth. Among men, angels, and demons. And that name belongs to me. Glory to God, and that'll make you a victor. But your words can keep you captive. Keep on talking about how I'm defeated. Poor old me. I've tried and tried. Just look back, everything's against me. I can't make it. The devil just keeps me sick all the time. Keep on talking like that and you'll stay like you are and get worse. Amen. You see, friends, actually, if you're defeated with your own lips. I know a lot of times people lay it off on the devil. They'll lay it off on somebody else. You know, fellow Christians, sometimes they'll even lay it off on the preacher. But we might as well get down to brass tacks. If I'm defeated, if you're defeated, you're the one, I'm the one that's responsible for it. Because you're defeated with your own lips. There's another verse in Proverbs that I like. Been a favorite of mine for a good many years. Proverbs, the 6th chapter and the 2nd verse. It has to do with what I'm talking about, words. Thou art snared, it said, with the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 6:2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. The margin of my King James translation reads, thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. Somebody put it like this. I read this many years ago. You said that you could not. And the moment that you said it, you were whipped. You said that you did not have faith. And doubt rose up like a giant and bound you. You're imprisoned with your own words. You talk failure, and failure held you in bondage. For as Proverbs 6:2 said, thou art snared, thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. Now as believers and as Christians, never talk failure. Never talk defeat. I don't know about you, but I don't believe in failure. I don't believe in defeat. I don't believe that God is a God of failure. Do you believe He's a God of failure? No. I don't believe He's a God of defeat. And we are children of God, then we oughtn't to be children of failure. I believe God's a God of victory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe God's a God of success. I believe God's a God of prosperity. I believe God's a God of plenty. God is a spirit. Jesus said He was, and He is, didn't He? Remember speaking to the woman, the 4th chapter of John's Gospel, woman at the well of Samaria? That woman, you know, Samaritans were half-breed Jews. And they said, you know, she said, the Jews say you have to worship God in Jerusalem. Our forefathers worshiped God in this mountain. What do you say about it? Jesus said, the time has come and now is that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For He said, God is a spirit. Well, I don't believe that He's a spirit of poverty. I think the devil sold one on us on that one. The church world as a whole. Bless the Lord. I remember my wife and I, when we first got married, almost 42 years ago, over 41 years ago. And right about this time, the month of June of 1939, we accepted the pastorate of a little church in the north, in the black land of north central Texas. Well, we'd only been married a few months, and when I'd married, my dad-in-law had said, because I pastored a different church at that time, in the community where they lived. And I rented a room from one of my board members and stayed with him because the church had no parsonage. When you get married, just move in here, you see. We have plenty of room. And he was a farmer in this community. And he said, board and room won't cost you anything. What the church pays you, just save it up to help get started in life. So, you see, we didn't have any furniture. We didn't have any housekeeping utensils and so on and so forth. So we moved into this pastor. They had a little furniture in this pastor. It wasn't fully furnished. The pastor had left about half of the furniture belonged to him. He moved what belonged to him, of course. And there was a little bit of furniture left there, but not much. And no dishes. And no cooking utensils. Well, we had just been married about 6 months, and they had given us a shower in this other church, and we'd got a few cooking utensils, not many, but a few, and a few little odds and ends and dishes, but no set of dishes. You know, 39, those were Depression days. I don't know if anybody can remember that far back or not, but brother, it wasn't like it is now. And so we didn't have much. Tell you the truth about the matter. There was a table in the kitchen and a stove in this parsonage, but no chairs. And so I got me an apple box. You know, they made them out of wood in those days, not paper, pasteboard. And a couple of them. And we sat on those apple crates. And we didn't have plates. So we got, I think we had one plate from the wife, and I got me a bucket lid. And we didn't have a full setting of knife or a fork and a spoon, you know. We had to pass the knife back and forth. Ain't got but one. Did happen to have two forks. No cups, no. Did have a few odd glasses. So we could drink water. But no cups. But some of the dear members, with a giant picture in their mind of how big God is, came bringing in some cups and saucers, and every single one of them was cracked. We can't use them. I thought maybe you could. That's the idea people's God of God. He'll take the hand-me-downs and whatever you can slough off a little here and there if it's not important. No, we just bundle them all up and throw them away. If they couldn't use them, why, God can't use them. And God's people can't use them. Amen. And I just enjoyed myself throwing them against the wall and breaking them up. Some way or another, people got the idea God's a God of poverty. That we ought to all be poverty stricken. We're not. God is a spirit. He's not a spirit of poverty. He's a spirit of plenty. Hallelujah. He's not a spirit of sickness and disease. He's a spirit of healing and health. Are you listening to me? Now start believing that. And you'll start speaking different words. He's not a God of failure. I don't believe God is a failure. You think He is? No, sir. No, sir. He's not a God of defeat. He's a God of success. He's a God of victory. And I'm His child, and I'm in His family. I'm not in a defeatist family. I'm not in a failure family. Glory to God. I'm in a family of success. I'm in a family of victory. Look at it. Just look at it. I mean, you don't have to have too much sense, just enough to do a little bit of thinking and see. Look at the country where the gospel's gone, the light shined in. You'll see how it brings them out of defeat and poverty and failure into success. Look into homes right here in America. I was thinking about some time ago, special service I preached in a certain place a little over a year ago. And two young men, one of them was the associate pastor of this church, who carried me some distance, got me some distance away to the airport. Another young man who was there went along with us. This young man gave his testimony. This young man's a professor in a university, a doctor, PhD, was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaks other tongues. And as they were talking, he said, "My mother, in fact, I never did know who my father was. My mother had five children. None of them really knew who their father was. They had different fathers. We lived in the very poorest part of the city or the town. In fact, the house we lived in had a dirt floor in it. Didn't even have a wooden floor. Dirt floor. Poverty stricken. But the pastor of that full gospel church came along and found them." And the mother said, "Well, yeah, I would like to have the children in Sunday school." "Well, we'll send for them." They got the kids in Sunday school. Some of them never had even been to public school, though they're old enough to go to school. In fact, this boy, about 9 or 10, never had been to school. Never had been to school. But he got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost at 9 or 10 years of age. Then he wanted to study. Wanted to make something of himself. He got a spirit, you see, on the inside of him. Blessed be God, of victory. Hallelujah. And the church tried to help the family, got him a better house. Gave him an automobile. Not a new one, but an automobile, because he lived some distance, where the mother could come and bring the children to church. And she came a few times. And, oh, no, I'm not interested in that. Sold the car and pocketed the money, because he'd put it in her name. But this young man said, a college professor, Dr. So-and-so, he said to me, "What's sad about it, Brother Hagin?" He said, "One of my other sisters and I got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. I'm a college professor, Dr. So-and-so, you see, known in educational circles and also a man full of the Holy Ghost. My sister, you see, made something of herself. But those other three children, five of them, those other three children, not a one of them ever amounted to anything. I hate to admit it, but my brother, you see, is in the penitentiary. My two sisters are prostitutes. Their mother was. She didn't know who's the daddy of the children. My mother, you see, just went on to the dogs, and you know, the devil already had her. What made the difference? What a difference! Here's a man that's a college professor, a man that's full of the Holy Ghost. When he's 9 or 10 years old, never been to school, couldn't read or write, lived in a house with a dirt floor. What made him? What put him over? He had to have something different from the rest of them, or he'd wound up probably in the pen just like his other brother did. He had to, and that other sister had to have something different than the others, and she'd wound up like the other girls, a prostitute. They all had the same chance. They all heard the same words. But you see, they spoke different words. They said, no. His mother said, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm just not interested in that. The other children turned it down. But these said the right words. I like that. I'll take Jesus as my Lord. I'll take Jesus as my Savior. And he happened to get a hold of a pastor that had our books, and so he put our books into his hands. And he began to speak faith words. And he started to school. And he went so fast, you see, he caught up with his folks. He graduated with honors from high school. He graduated from the highest honors from college. Came from very low background. What made the difference? Oh, he got hooked up with the God of this universe. He got hooked up with the God of success. He got hooked up with the God that knows no defeat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so he refused anything except success. He refused defeat. Friends and neighbors, if you talk about your trials and your difficulties and your lack of faith and your lack of health and your lack of money, you speak those kind of words, your faith will shrivel. And the devil will rise up and dominate you. Amen. If you confess sickness, it will develop sickness in your system. If you confess doubt, your doubts will grow stronger. Are you listening to me? If you confess the lack of finances, it will stop the money from coming in. How well I've learned that through the years and reversed it and changed the order of things. You talk about your doubts and fears, it'll destroy your faith. What are you going to talk about then? I'll tell you what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about your wonderful, lovely Heavenly Father. Glory to God. You're going to talk about the Word of God. But if you don't know the Word, if you don't know the Father, how can you talk about Him? Get acquainted with Him. How do you get acquainted with Him? Through the Word of God and through prayer. Hallelujah. He's everything the Word says He is. And he can do everything the Word says he can do. Amen. Amen. Say that out loud. God is everything the Word of God says he is.
God is everything the Word of God says he is.
And he can do everything the Word says he can do.
And he can do everything the Word says he can.
That's what you're going to talk about. It's what God can do. Hallelujah to God. Who God is. Amen. My Father is greater than all. Glory. Glory. My Father is greater than all. Woo! Hallelujah. Look defeat in the face and cry out, my God is greater than you. Look failure in the face and declare, my God is greater. That's what Jesus said, my Father is greater than all. A double L's all. I just refuse to be defeated. Amen. I've never been defeated. I can't be defeated. Amen. Amen. My Father's greater than all. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The greater one's in me. He's greater than sickness and disease. He's greater than troubles and trials. He's greater than any power, any force that can come against me. How great is God? You can't measure how great He is. Say it again. God is everything the Word says He is.
God
can do everything the Word says He can do. Now believe that. Praise God. That's what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about God, your Father. You're going to talk about how great He is. You're going to talk about how big He is. Quit talking about how big the devil is. What does he amount to in the sight of God? Besides that, Jesus already whipped him anyhow. Why don't you talk about that? Well, one lady got up in my church one time where I was pastor and testified and said, the devil's been after me all the week. Bless his holy name. I know she got her praise misplaced, but she's bragging on the devil. Bragging on the devil. Been after me all the week. What difference does it make if he's after you? What difference does it make? You've got the greater one. The one that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. That's what 1 John 4:4 said, didn't it? Didn't it? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What difference does it make? People come talking about what the devils are doing. What difference does it make? What's that got to do with it? The one that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. That means he's greater. See, talk about that. But you see, if you're going to magnify the other, you know, oh, the devil, the devil, the devil, the devil. Till hearing Christians, spirit-filled Christians talk, you'd think that the devil's bigger than God. That he's rose up and taken everything over. Running the universe. Got me down, blooded my nose. Well, it's because you let him if he did. It's because you didn't speak the right words. It's because you didn't speak the right words. Just stand there and laugh at him. I don't care what he's doing. Just stand there and laugh at him. I mean, stand in the face. Glory to God of the storm. I've done it. Stand in the face of the test. I've done it. And laugh. Not because you feel like it. My God, no. You feel like, as the saying is, throwing your sponge in the ring, giving up. Said, boy, I can't come out for another round. That's all it is to. Every time I come out, looks like I just, no, I can't make it. But oh, no. No, 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 no. Don't go by what you think or how you feel. Go by what the Word says. Glory to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's what you're going to talk about. How big he is, not how big the devil is. What he's doing, not what the devils are doing. See, that's the reason some Christians are depressed all the time. They're talking about all the time what the devils are doing. Look out in the world. Well, naturally he's working out. That's his world. That's not God's world out there. The Bible said Satan is the god of this world. This world. The Bible said, we're in the world, but not of the world. Certainly he's working out there. That's his dominion. That's his domain. He's got a right to be there. But he can't dominate me. I'm in the world, but not of the world. Are you listening? Think about all that's happening out there. Well, what about it? They don't know, the poor folks, blessed darling hearts, don't know any better. They're serving their master more faithful than you are your master most of the time. I'm shouting it down now because I'm preaching real good. They're out 100% for the devil. Why don't you go out 100% for God? Amen. What good's that going to do talking about what the devils are doing? What good's that going to do to giving all the statistics of how many criminals we got? Not a bit in the world. What good's it going to do to tell how many rapes occurred last year in the United States and how many people were murdered? Not a bit of good in the world. I'm not interested in it. I'd just soon hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. In fact, I'd rather. Because that's all that poor old donkey knows to do is to bray, and some of these other donkeys ought to know better. Amen. No, sir. No, sir. Why, you can go sometimes and listen to all the statistics. I've been in services where they spent 45 minutes of giving statistics to telling about what all's happening, how many people are getting killed and robbed and killed and raped and everything in the world. And when you left, you know, if you'd have let your feelings dominate you, you'd have said, oh, dear God. You couldn't even straighten up. You just had, oh, I don't know whether I'll ever make it home or not. Oh, the devils are taking over. The devils are taking over. And you go into some churches. I know for many years, from 1949 through 62, I preached all across America. From New York State to California. From Florida to Washington State and over into Canada. And I ride in full gospel churches. Ride in full gospel churches that ought to have known better. Again and again, the song leader, you know, got up and said, the devil's here. The devil's here. I'll tell you, the devil's got this thing bound up. You could just see the people going down. Just to wilt it. The devil's here. The pastor got up and said, the devil's here. Talk more about the devil. I'm not making that up. That happened. Many times. The pastor said, I don't know how in the world, looked around at me and said, Doc, I don't know how in the world you'll ever preach in this kind of atmosphere. The devil's got everything. See, they're going by feeling. The devil's got everything bound up. Well, we're going to hurry up, he said to me, though, and take up the offering and turn you loose. I jumped up and said, no, bless God, you're not going to turn me loose. I'm not bound. I've been loose all the time. Jesus turned me loose. Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. No. No. And I want you to turn me loose. I don't need turning loose. Just turn it over to me. I'm already loose. Glory. I got up in the pulpit and I said, it's been said that the devil's here. I said, certainly he is, but what of it? He's been here every night. He comes to every service. He even comes to the morning teaching service. But what of it? What do I care because he's here? I said, God's here. The God of the universe. Go outside and look at the moon and the stars and the vast expanse of space. My Father put all that up there with words. Glory! 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 Hallelujah! Praise God! Hallelujah! Go out in the forest and look at the trees. Go yonder to California and drive through the redwood forest. Those giant trees towering hundreds of feet into the air. My Father did that. Glory to God. Just created them with words. Drive across the vast expanse of our own nation here, across the plains and across the mountains. And down in the valley. My Father did that. Go stand on the seashores and look at the waves as they come rolling in. My Father did that. Hallelujah. Look at the morning sun as it rises across the horizon, blazes down upon the earth. My Father put that sun up there, but just simply said, let there be a sun. There it was. Look at the earth. Look at the ground you're walking on. My Father did that. He said, let there be an earth. And there it was. My Father did that. The God of the universe. The God that created the heavens and the earth is here tonight in this service. Glory to God.
What do I care if the devil is here? Amen. Jesus is here. I said that to that congregation, to this one. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. The champion is here. The champion is here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There came one out of the bosom of the Father, given from the heart of love, even his only begotten Son. Came into this world and walked among men for 3.5 years. Died. Shed his blood. Went down to hell in my place and yours. But on that third day he arose. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And took the keys away from the devil. I am he said, that was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys. Whoa! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got the keys. He took them. Where did he get them? He took them away from the devil. The devil had them. Hallelujah. The keys of what? The keys of death. Oh, he's not talking about physical death there. He's talking about spiritual death. He's talking about separation from God. He's talking about sickness and disease. He's talking about failure. He's talking about poverty. I've got the keys of death, of hell, and of death. Hallelujah. Praise God. What do I care if the devil's present in the service? Jesus is here. And he's the authorized one. He's the authorized one. He has the keys. He's the holy one. He's here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Jesus, you remember, the Bible said when he was baptized of John in Jordan's river, he came straightway up out of the water. The Holy Ghost descended upon him in a form and shape as a dove and lit upon him. And there's a voice that spoke from heaven. God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Over there in the book of Revelation, he said, "I am he that was alive and dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." And he went on to say that I am the Holy One. Hallelujah. You see, there was no fault found in him by God. God couldn't find any fault in him. He said, "This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, when he took Peter, James, and John with him there and was transfigured before him. And there appeared Moses and Elijah and spake with him. And again there was a voice out of the cloud that spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son." Glory to God. God found no fault in him. He's the Holy One and he's here. The Holy One's here in this service tonight. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. The authorized one is here. He said, "I've got the keys of hell and death." And not only that, but he said that he had the keys to the throne of David. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, man came along. They tried to find fault with him. He's a holy one. There's no fault found in him by man, by God, or by demons. Men came along. The Pharisees, the very strictest sect of the Jewish religion. They came one day. They thought, "Boy, we've got the $64,000 question. We're going to get him in trouble right now with Caesar and the Roman government. Master, we want to ask you a question. Is it right to pay taxes or not?" He said, "Show me a penny." Somebody brought one. He held up, said, "Whose superscription or image is that there on?" They said, "Caesar's." He said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And those Pharisees went away and reported to the chief priests and elders, "Never a man spake like this man." They found no fault in him. The Sadducees came. And they thought they'd trick him. And they'd find fault with him. And the Sadducees came and said, "Master, I want to ask you a question. Now Moses said that if a man died not having any children, for one of his brothers to take his wife and raise up children unto his brother." So there were 7 brothers. One of them got married and he died having no children. The second brother had the wife and he died having no children. The third one took the wife and he died having no children. And on down till all 7 of them had her. And they all died finally. Now, in the resurrection, well, in the first place, the Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. And they didn't even believe in a spirit or an angel or anything like that. But in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Jesus said, you do err in not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of heaven. And the Sadducees found no fault in him. So the devil had his try at it. The devil came along. And the devil said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Satan took him and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. He said, he'd quote a little scripture now. For it is written, he'll give his angel charge over thee concerning thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus said, it's also written. Sometimes you've got to tell the devil it's also written. It's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Satan took it upon his exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, said, if you fall down before me and worship me, I'll give you all these nations and the glory thereof. And Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so Satan found no fault in him, because he's the Holy One, he's the authorized one, he has the keys of the house of David. Praise God forevermore. And he arose victorious over the devil. He defeated him in his own domain. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. And he's here. That's what I said to that congregation, you see. Well, you know, they were talking about the devil being there and they kept scooting down in the seats. But when I began to talk about God's here, Jesus is here, and he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like he's here. God has not a thing in the world to do with it. He didn't lie. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God, I said to them, and I say to you, if he didn't come with you, he came with me. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I believe I'll just finish that over there in Revelation where I was quoting where he said, I have the keys of David, and so on. And he went on to say that I am he that openeth, and no man shutteth. And he that shutteth, and no man openeth. He's the opener and the shutter. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's opened the door of salvation to every man whosoever will may come. But thank God he's also opened the door of healing and health. And what he opens, no man can shut. Oh, theologians tried to shut the door, but they can't shut it. They told me 40-some-odd years ago when I was on the bed of affliction, that door's been closed. When the last apostle died, he pulled that door to behind him. And shut that door. Church people, theologians, Christian people, so-called, said the door is shut. But if I tell you, bless God, this old Baptist boy got in Grandma's old Methodist Bible, and I discovered the door is open. Hallelujah. And I made a run for that door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And entered in through that door. And I've been there ever since then. Now, won't you know, man can shut the door. The door is still open. The door is still open. I said the door is open. The door is open. I want you to say it out loud. The door is open. Say it again. The door is open. The door of healing and health is open. The door of prosperity and wealth is open. The door of the gospel is open. The door is open. And what he opens, no man can shut. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about our Father. We're going to talk about how great He is. We're going to talk about how big He is. We're going to talk about what He can do. I want you to say it out loud again. God is everything the Word says He is.
God is everything the Word says He is.
Say this, God can do. Everything the Word said He can do. Now say this. I am what God says I am.
I am what God says I am.
I can do what God says I can do.
I can do what God says I can do.
I have what God says I have.
I have what God says
Hallelujah
I have.
To Jesus. Now stand up. Some of you dear ones, bless your darling heart. And not to blame the devils. We're not magnifying the devil, but stating facts got your mind. Because in 2 Corinthians 4, it said Satan blinded their mind. Got some of your mind so blinded you can't see the truth. You want to believe and can't. You want to walk in the light of it. Your mind's all confused and in a whirl. Well, I'll tell you right now, the name of Jesus is greater than every devil. I'm going to break the power of the devil over you right where you stand. And I'll tell you right now, some of you, by the time I get through with this, seem like that almost instantly you became another person. Your mind will be clear. You'll almost pinch yourself and say, is this me? Because every one of those lousy devils that's been attacked in your mind is going to leave you right now. I said it. Did you hear me? Because the greater one has authorized me. I am authorized by the greater one to use his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I not only break the power of the devil over those particular ones that you've shown me here, but over every person in this congregation that's troubled with wrong thinking. Everyone that's troubled with a confused and perplexed mind. Everyone that's troubled by evil spirits attacking them in their body. Demons of hell. You leave this place. You leave that person. You leave that woman. Leave her alone, all three of you. Don't you bother anymore. I command every one of you to desist in your maneuvers and stop in your operations. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no choice. I'm giving you no choice. You have no choice. You know you have no choice. The name of Jesus prevails. For he arose that glad Easter morning and said, all hail, all power is given unto me both in heaven and in earth. And he delegated that authority and power on the earth to us, the church. Now clear out. You devils, clear out. Amen. Leave those people alone. They haven't the strength to do it for themselves, and so I'll do it for them. You leave them alone. Take your hand off of their nerves. Take your hand off of their bodies. In Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. The very peace of God is permeating you right now. You feel it. You sense it, don't you? See, that agitation spirit's gone. That confusion spirit's gone. There's something coming down upon you right now and in you, stirring within you right now. You know it. I know it. God knows it. The devil knows it. Just go ahead and yield to it. That's the very peace of God. The peace of God. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah is permeating your very being. Blessed be God, Bohemondi, Stongre, Dede, Cambrave, Kichista, Koradaka, Blagida, Fraprate, De Frobro, De Kedefe, and Scaracasta, Kaya, Pandolo, Sombre, Venekai. Don't try to accept it with your mind. You can't take hold of God with your mind because he's not a mind. Accept it in your spirit. Make your mind obey your spirit. Accept it in your heart. Except on the inside of you. Let the peace of God that's in you well up on the inside of you. And it will overflow into your mentality and into your mind. Don't try to do it with your mind. Don't try to reach God with your mind. Don't try to contact God with your mind. He's not a mind. He's a spirit. Keep your mind quiet on the inside of you. Begin to speak out of the inside of you. Let your mind be quiet. Don't think anything. Begin to speak out of the inside of you, I am receiving right now. Say it. Out of the inside of you, I am receiving what I need right now. I am receiving. Say it. I do receive. I receive my healing. I receive my help. I receive my deliverance. He is my all in all. My Father is greater than all. Jesus is my all in all. I have received of him. I belong to him. Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. I confess him with my mouth. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my healer. I receive my healing now. For Jesus is the healer. I receive the healer now. I receive him now. I receive him now. As healer. Not only Lord and Savior, but healer. He is my healer. He is my physician. Oh, glory to God. He's healing me right now. Say it out loud. He is healing me right now. Say it out loud.
He is healing me.
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 I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive it.
I acknowledge it.
I acknowledge it.
It is mine.
It is mine.
It is mine.
Healing is mine.
Health is mine.
Plenty is mine. Jesus is mine. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Some of you are waiting for somebody to do it for you. Well, I would if I could, but I can't. I've done what the Lord told me to do. Come on, get in the boat with us. Amen. Don't paddle around out there on the outside. Come on, get in with us here. Glory to God. You hear me? Amen. Are you listening? Yeah, but I know I can't. Well, if you can't, then Jesus lied because He said you could. He said, whosoever will, let him come. He said you could come if you will to. The thing is, you just got through saying, I won't. Quit saying, I won't. Say, I will. I will. Say it out loud. Everybody, I will.
I will.
I will.
I will come to
Him.
I will receive Him.
I do come to Him.
I do receive Him.
I receive Him as Savior.
I receive Him as my Lord.
I receive Him as my healer.
I receive Him as my
victory. I receive Him as my deliverer.
I receive Him as my
deliverance.
I receive Him as my all in all.
Now some of you, bless your darling hearts, you still got your mind on your problem. Long as you're going to think about it and talk about your problem. Sickness, disease, poverty, whatever it is. Activities of the devil, harassment of the devil. Long as you're going to think about it, as long as you're going to talk about it, you're going to have it. Amen. Get your mind on Jesus. Get your mind on the Word of God. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Words are important. Can't you see that from what we read here tonight? Can't you see that from those scriptures? Thou art snared, thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, sickness is incipient death. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In other words, you could say healing and health are in the power of the tongue. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. There is that that speaketh like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The reason the tongue of the wise is health, because that tongue is speaking and saying the right thing. Can you see it? I said, can you see it?
Yes.
My, my, my. Let's just wait a minute. Let the Lord deal with some hearts. If they won't listen to the Lord, they wouldn't listen to me anyhow. Listen on the inside of you, in your spirit, in your spirit. Your very innermost being. That's where He talks to you. That's where He is if you're saved. He's in there. He is in there. What's He saying to you? What's He saying to you? Well, whatever He's saying to you, it's in line with the written word because He's the author of this book. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Quit listening to your head. That's what's got a lot of you in trouble. You've been listening to your head and everything the devil put in your head. You start talking it. Get your mind renewed with the Word. Shut your eyes. Shut everybody out so you won't be looking around. Say it loud enough with your own mouth that your ears can hear your voice say it.
I receive this night
the provision of the Lord Jesus Christ.
He is the opener.
And what He opens,
no man can shut.
He has opened the door of healing and health
and deliverance.
I enter into that door now.
I am delivered.
I am healed.
I am
whole.
Jesus has made me whole.
Jesus is my healer.
Jesus is my deliverer.
I go home tonight free.
For it is written,
whom the Son has set free
is free indeed.
He has set me free.
Free from sin.
Free from the devil.
Free from the demons
and evil spirits.
Free from sickness and disease.
I believe that in my heart.
Because I believe that in my heart,
I say it with my mouth.
I am free.
Jesus has set me free.
Hallelujah.
Now lift your hands and praise Him for it.
Praise Him for it.
Thank Him for it.
Thank Him for it.
Oh, mambaratia staka, progedi katikas. Blajuna dafra babianda.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
We ought to sing something.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. We ought to sing something before we go.
Hallelujah.